After his blockbuster The Sixth Sense, writer and director M. Night Shyamalan has earned mixed reviews from critics, but made big money at the box office with Unbreakable, Signs, and The Village. He says his new fantasy, Lady in the Water, is his most heartfelt work. He even left his longtime studio, Disney, when executives there didn't share his enthusiasm for the project. David Edelstein has this review.
It's been a tough week for film critics. Clerks 2 director Kevin Smith publicly lambasted ABC's Joel Siegel, who swore loudly and walked out of a screening during a scene in which characters discussed having sex with a donkey. Now, I know I'm being disloyal to a brother critic, but Joel, dude, Kevin's right. That was way uncool. On the other hand, M. Night Shyamalan's hostility to critics seems unwarranted. In The Lady in the Water, he gives us a pasty little prisspot of a critic who gets torn to shreds by a rogue scrunt. Even if you don't know what a scrunt is, you gotta know it's nasty. See, in Shyamalan's universe, the critic represents the doubter, the underminer of childlike spirituality and fantasy. I don't want to get too Freudian, but in interviews, Shyamalan says his parents did that too. So what is this, some kind of Oedipal revolt? We know from Michael Bamberger's new book, The Man Who Heard Voices, that Shyamalan won't work with people who don't love him unconditionally. Their doubt brings him down, the way the jaded, arrogant critic played by Bob Balaban nearly brings down the narf played by Bryce Dallas Howard. Let me backtrack. The Lady in the Water is like Splash reworked by a grandiose Sunday school teacher. It centers on a traumatized apartment complex superintendent called Cleveland Heap, played by Paul Giamatti, who finds himself the caretaker of a sort of sea nymph, a narf, from an ancient water realm called the Blue World. In a prologue, we learn that narfs and man were once linked, but man became greedy and the species parted ways. But narfs occasionally still reach out to humans. This one, she's called Story, has come to impart a message to a writer, played by the Shyamster himself. He must keep writing, she says, because the book he's struggling to finish will inspire a child who will one day transform the world. Cleveland learns about narfs and scrunts, they're the hellhounds who try to eat narfs, from a Korean grandmother tenant, and he realizes he needs a whole entourage to protect Story. But who, he wonders, could fill the prescribed roles? Ah, the critic knows about storytelling. Let's ask the critic.
What is it you want anyway?
Well, I had a question. You're an expert on plots, right? You know who's going to do what in a book or a movie, even at the beginning, yes?
There is no originality left in the world, Mr. Heap. That is a sad fact I've come to live with.
Well, if there was a mystery and a guy had to figure out who some people were, like he had to find a symbol guy, someone who can figure out messages, and a guild of people who are going to be important at the end as a group, how would you figure that out?
The symbol person should be simple. Look for any character who was doing something mundane but required analysis. Someone who was skilled at puzzles. As for the guild, look for any group of characters that are always seen together and have seemingly irrelevant and tedious dialogue that seems to regurgitate forever. Is there anything further I can assist you with during my nap time?
No, Mr. Farber. Thank you.
The critic, of course, gets it all wrong, and that's why he's reviled and ripped to shreds. He should have known not to be such a know-it-all creep. Okay, let's be fair. Critics dish it out. Critics should be able to take it. The problem is that The Lady in the Water is so adolescent in the way it conflates spiritual doubt with doubt of Shyamalan. There's no place in his universe even for dramatic tension, which is why the movie is boring you silly when it's not making you snicker. Every member of the apartment complex surrogate family jumps right on board the Narf Express, instantly committed to beating back scrunts with the power of their faith, while the audience stares dumbly at the screen. Movies like Spielberg's E.T. are adolescent fantasies, too. But Shyamalan can't stir your emotions the way Spielberg does. Shyamalan is good at alienation and flat-out horror, but there isn't much warmth or romance on his palette. When Bryce Dallas Howard huddles semi-clothed in a shower, there's little going on in her lovely chiseled face. She's a beatific lump. I know in trashing Shyamalan's fairy tale, I'm aligning myself with the critic in the film. But the critic in the film makes a big mistake. He tries to make sense of the hero's ravings. This critic would just have said, "Sorry, pal, your story stinks."
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.